morning again, and I greet you in the name of Christ. Glad you could be here, and I'm glad that you could be with us live today, watching the live version on Facebook, and Miss Nadine listening to the radio this morning. God bless you. Today is Sanctity of Life Sunday, recognized on the Christian calendar. I do not have a sermon to go along with that today, but all life is sacred. People matter. People are made in the image of God, and we must respect life. And remember, those who are so far away from God, yet they are made in the image of God, and we got to do what we can do to reach them with the gospel and respect life. Our denomination, however, for started last fall, we have the guy that come back last fall and showed up here one Sunday. Can't even think of his name now. It's what happens when you start getting old. But I recognized him when he showed up. He tries to come in unannounced and sneak in, but I'd seen him before. He has been promoting for back last fall and trying to get churches, and a lot of them did, to have a Sunday designated as Answering the Call Sunday. Well, I've really never been too good about having set things to preach about and stuff like that. I'm not that good. I don't know how to preach, and all I know how to do is just try to share what God gives me when he gives it to me. And you know, I can't just say, well, I'm going to preach about this or that. Many years ago at Blues Chapel in a deacon's meeting, I had some good deacons there. They taught me a lot. One of them said, I think you need to preach about something. And he said it in a loving way. And when the Lord leads is all I can tell you. I can't just say I'm going to preach about this or that. And that's just the way it is for me. But this week, the Lord put it upon me to maybe it is time to address this subject of answering the call. So we're going to be reading from the book of Romans today, chapter 11, verses 25 through 36. Romans chapter 11, verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion a deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. For the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. For as in times past have not believed God, yet now obtain mercy through their unbelief, even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them in unbelief, that he might have mercy on all. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, Or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall not be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. So says the word of God. Verse number 29. For the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Answering the call of God. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for allowing us to assemble here today and providing a good place to do it. It's warm, it's comfortable, but it'll be much better, dear Lord, if you are in our midst, if the Holy Spirit is free to work in and among us here today, to call the unsaved to faith and repentance, and to call your church into action, dear Lord, and to call us into service. Lord, we pray that your name be blessed here today. In the name of Jesus, lift it up, Lord. Heal our sicknesses. Encourage us here today. We pray in Jesus' name and amen. Answering the call. The Word of God says that the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. In other words, that means they are irrevocable. They are permanent. They are unchangeable. That God does not take it back. But I want you to remember this up front. I'll try to remind you of this again before we close out today. These gifts that are without repentance that God sends, they require activation through faith to be fully realized. To enjoy the gifts and the callings of God is placed upon us. It requires on our behalf that we activize it. You know, we'll make it active through faith to fully enjoy and realize what God has for us to do in this life. Paul here is talking about his people, Israel. You know, they're God's chosen people even today. And he says at this time they're actually your enemies because they tried to hinder the growth of Christianity there. But he says they are elected. Who knows the mind of God? They are still God's people. I'm telling you, be careful what you do with Israel. Be careful when you raise your hand against Israel. They are God's people. These gifts and callings are without repentance. Don't know that I understand all about that, but God does, and I believe his word. When he says that God will not forget his people, and he gives certain gifts and callings to us as individuals today. I'll remind you also that God's purposes and promises are permanent. And that's what he's teaching here. Even though Israel at this time is not in Christ, They are hard-hearted and unbelieving, yet the purpose that God has for his people and the promises are permanent. That applies to Israel. But listen, it applies to you too. Do you know that? It applies unto individuals, assuring us that our divine calling is permanent. Permanent, that God is calling us to commitment today and to a fuller level of service. We think about the callings. You go back to Moses, and we talked a little bit about him in Sunday school today, but Moses receives the call of God on the backside of the mountain. It catches him really at sort of a bad time in his life. He has been rejected He thought upon himself to somehow help the Hebrew people and to deliver them from oppression, and he tried it on his own without God's calling. He felt a burden. Maybe I need to intervene. Maybe I have to do something to help these people. And he acted on his own, and it was met with rejection. When we try things maybe on our own and it don't work out, you know, it leaves us broken. You know, a lot of people get broken in ministry. It can be a very taxing job. And sometimes people get broken, they give up. And Moses is kind of like that. And so he flees, and he said, 40 years to think about it. You know, I've been rejected by my own people. I thought I was doing a good thing, but yet it didn't work out. But one day on the back side of the mountain, God came calling. Now, I want to tell you this. It is not my job to tell anybody what they're called to do, except I will tell you that you're called to be saved. If you activate that with faith, you can be. But when it comes to a higher level of service, you won't need me to tell you. Believe me, you'll be the first one to know. You really will. So Moses, we're going to read a little bit about Moses' call over here in the book of Exodus. He is a good example of the call of God coming out, and he has a dramatic call. And our calling is dramatic. It's special to us. You know, it may not be like St. Paul's on the road to Damascus. It may not be like Moses with the burning bush, but it is real to us. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 3, Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the Mount of God, even Horeb, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Now, the thing is here, not necessarily so much as the fire, but it just keeps burning. The bush seems to keep refueling. It's not going out. Normally a dry bush would be consumed and the fire would go out. And it gets his attention. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned out. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. He said, draw not nigh hither, but put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. It's an awesome experience, you know, for God to call one. And he's here in the presence of God, and it's got his attention. And he said, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmakers, for I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land into a good land, and a large land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is common to me, and I have seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children out of Egypt? I've tried that once and it didn't work. Moses at this point has no confidence. He has no self-esteem. You know, to be met with something, you try it and you fail, you know, a lot of times it breaks our will. We have no confidence, no self-esteem. But God knows what he's doing. And Moses questions God, you know, I can't talk. They won't believe me. You know, they rejected me before. And God says, how am I going to do this? Well, take that stick you got in your hand. How are you going to equip me to do this? That stick with an ordinary shepherd's staff. You will take that stick and you will lead these people out of Egypt. God knows what he is doing. Moses questions God, but why would you want to call me to do this? Why? Listen, God knows what he's doing. And for our faith must be actively put in place for us to realize the gifts and the callings that God has for us. Verse 33 of our text verse here in 34 says, Paul says, oh, the depths and the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Well, I have to figure this out. Now, Lord, why would you call me? You know, I can't make any sense of this. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, and who hath been his counselor? You know, we try to counsel God when he sends a call upon our life. Now, Lord, do you understand who I am and what you're asking me to do? God knows what he is doing. God knew what he was doing with Moses, and he says, you will take that stick and you'll go in my name and you will do what I've told you to do. Believe me, you will bring them out. With God's presence, we will be able to realize the callings and the gifts that he has for us, fully realize them, you know, and not go through life not fully realizing the blessings that God has for us. Why? The first thing always, why me? Moses is the example of that. Why in the world would you call me? Can I remind you of I can't speak? I have no confidence. I have a problem of confidence here and a lack of it. And I just, you know, I'm broken and I can't do this, you know. But God, no, why does God do things? Well, first of all, he doesn't owe us an explanation. God knows exactly what he is doing, and he will be successful at what he is doing. St. Paul, when he was called at first, why would you call me into ministry? You know, I've persecuted the church and Christians. You know, I've been a hater of yours. I have fought against Christianity. But he soon accepts the calling that God placed upon him. When we have to quit questioning God. God doesn't have to give us a reason to call us. You know, He doesn't owe us an explanation. You know, we don't understand the things of God because it pleases him. You know, he is the God of all creation. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 18, he says, But now hath God set some members, every one of them, in the body as it pleased him because it pleases him. You know, he is not answerable to us. God knows what he is doing, and he will do things as it pleases him. Not necessarily pleases us, but as it pleases him. In Galatians 1 and 15, Paul says, but when it pleased God, why did God call me to preach the gospel? Paul says, it pleased God. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, because it pleased God, you know, we don't need or demand an explanation for it. But when we talk about the gifts and the callings of God being without repentance, that's irrevocable, that is permanent, that is unchangeable, and God does not take these things back. God is faithful, and his promises and his gifts and callings are without repentance. Now, in 1983, when out of nowhere I was called to preach the gospel, that was a pretty dramatic event in my life. It was not something that I had thought about, spent any time at all about considering, or thought about in my mind in any way, shape, form, or fashion. Just bam. And I remember that the biggest thing about it was, and I will tell anybody who is called to preach or higher service in the church, you will not have to be told. You will be the first one to know. And out of nowhere, I am called to preach the gospel, and it's like... you know, an emotional breakdown. This is a big deal with me. And the number one fear and the thing that really struck me and frightened me was that I knew that this was irrevocable, that I knew that the gifts and the callings of God were without repentance. I understood exactly what it was that I was up against. I understood that my life would never be the same. I understood that this is not something that you will try to do. If it works out, fine. If you don't, you can pick up your life and go. I understood that I would forever be called to be a preacher as long as I was able. I knew that, and that's the part that frightened me so much. There is no turning back. It is permanent. It is unchangeable. God does not take this back. This is, you know, there are things in life that we can give it a try and say, well, we'll try this. If it works, we'll try it again. And my personality is that there have been a lot of things that I've tried and give up on. I had sort of a mentality, if something ain't working out, try something else. That was my personality. And I understood very plainly, without question, that this was not in that category. This is not something that you take on and you try your best, and then if it don't work out, you pick up your life and go on. There was no turning back. That I understood without question. Now, like other people, I guess I wanted somebody to tell me, but I cannot tell anybody what their calling is. You will know. I went to my father, and he sent me to my pastor, and I went to my pastor that morning hoping that he would tell me, to give me a little bit more confidence. I was hoping that he would tell me to answer the call, but he would not. He would just look at me with them big eyes and just and say nothing, just sit there, you know. He knew my problem. And he also knew that it was not his job to tell me what to do. This is between God and you. This was between me and God. I was just looking for somebody that I could blame it on, I guess. And I knew later that if my pastor, Brother David, had told me that morning what he already knew, but he was wise enough not to, I knew that that would have been a way for me to have got out of it. And I said, well, he's the one who told me that. I realized in the weeks following that, and at that day, I was really wanting him to tell me that. I knew, you know what? He was a wise man. Because if he had told me later, I'd have said, well, it's his fault. He egged this on. He put this in my mind, and it was him, but it was not. And I'm so thankful that he didn't tell me I was called to preach. But that part about irrevocable, there's no turning back. Your life will never be the same. And that's a big decision, and it's awesome and hard to deal with it. But once, and you know, the thing about it is, my wife, well, hey, we never talked about me being a preacher or something like that. You know, that's not part of the deal with marriage. You know, how's this going to affect our family? And it has, but in a good way. But, you know, this is a big deal. Big deal. When God calls, you know. I've heard of other people who have had the calling of God placed upon them, and they maybe went for years, you know, and had no peace. No peace. You'll be the first one to know it, and you'll know it. My father has told me stories in his ministry. He's had a man that was a neighbor one time in his dying days. And this man didn't go to church. He was a good man. That he confessed to him practically on his deathbed. Many years ago, I was called to preach. And never did do it. And he lived his life, you know, without fully realizing the blessings of God that he could have had in his life. Hopefully he was saved. I don't know anything about that. But you don't realize the blessings that God can have upon you. You cannot be at peace. You know, you can... I personally could not have existed, you know. To me, it was either do this or else, and I didn't want to find out what else was. I'll tell you that right quick. But more than one person, my dad has shared with me stories about people who had told them. Maybe some alcoholics or something would come to him. And some of those guys used to come to my dad years ago, and we lived down here on the highway. It'd be men that I didn't even know, you know. And sometimes they'd tell him, you know, I was called to preach many years ago, but they ran from it. They rejected it, and they didn't enjoy certainly the blessings of God in their life, because that calling requires activation. Paul didn't know what he was getting into at first, but God called him. The Jews didn't accept him. They tried to kill him. Now you've turned into a Christian, and they tried to kill him. And the Jewish Christians at that time didn't trust him either, so he had a hard time. It took him some time to find his place, but God had called him to be the apostle to the Gentiles. But later, He realized once he activates his calling that God has placed upon him, and this is the thing about it now, once we activate by faith, activate our calling, then we begin to enjoy the blessings of God. Later he would say to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, he said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Up front, oh, why? Do you know what you're doing here, Lord? Do you realize who you're talking to here? This is me. And later down the road here he says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Counting me faithful. What a blessing it has been. I'm thankful that God chose me, he said. It's a good thing when God calls us. It really is. It is a good thing when he calls us into ministry and when he calls us into a higher level of service. It is a good thing. But it always requires activation by faith. It's pleasing to God. Why? Where we want to question, we want to counsel God. Moses tried that. Oh, Lord, you don't understand. I can't talk. I stutter. I can't speak. They've rejected me. All the excuses in the world, but God knows what he is doing. And the sooner we activate the gifts and callings that God has placed upon us through faith, then we can finally begin to fully realize it. I can't imagine. I suppose that personalities maybe play a role in some of these things, but I cannot imagine when I think about those men who had said that they had surely been called to preach many years ago and didn't do it. I can't imagine living your life knowing that God had placed a special call upon my life and I had not activated it through faith. That I had... It's not saying that a person ain't going to be saved at the end of the way, but it is going to say that they have not enjoyed the full blessings of God. They've not realized what God had in store for them. It was not an easy thing when I was called to preach, and it didn't come easy with me. I'll be honest with you. Tried my first sermon here that Sunday night, and the people were so gracious to me. But I learned that first night, this ain't going to be easy. I thought, well, everybody's happy with me and all. This will be easy. I'm exercising faith. I'm going to try this. It wasn't easy. I'll be honest with you. It was not as easy as I was hoping it'd be. And I realize there's work to this. It's going to require effort. It's going to require activation, you know, with faith that to be fully realized, you're going to have to work at this. But I'm going to tell you, I have been blessed so much. I can't begin to tell you. Last week when Miss Nadine had her accident up here, there was a young state trooper who the county got there first, and they left and left it to him. And I got there, and he was a young man. And I said, this lady is a member of my church, and she's 100 years old. And he looked at me, and he said, you're kidding me, aren't you? I said, no, sir. She is literally 100 years old. I said, I'm going to go in and see about it. He said, well, you go in and see about her. He said, I hadn't seen her yet. You go in and make sure she's okay, and I'll be in there in a few minutes, and we'll talk about some things. So I went on in and seen to her and spent time with her. In a few minutes, he come in, and he was a very nice young man. And he asked her just a few questions, your driver's license, what happened, those sort of things. And I looked at him, and I said, what's your name? Can't even remember it now, Chris something. That's another thing about getting old. I said, where are you from? He said, I'm from down outside of Bradford. I said, well, I used to pastor a church down there. During the 90s, I was at Blues Chapel General Baptist Church. And he said, oh, yeah, I'm acquainted with that. He said, I go to Mount Pleasant. I said, well, Brother Johnny's your pastor, isn't he? He said, yeah. I said, Johnny McCartney was one of the first converts at Blues Chapel when I became pastor. My first Sunday, there was two people saved. One of them was a 63-year-old man that I thought was an old man. And Johnny McCartney, he was a young man at that time. Johnny went on, and now he is a minister, pastoring a church down there. And so we had a good talk with that trooper, very nice young man. But relationships like that you know, I said, we went on youth outings and crusades and all these things with them boys back in the end. And God has blessed me. I've met a lot of good people. God's people have been good to me. They have been so kind to me in ministry. You know, this church was my home church. They were so good and encouraged me. And everywhere I went, people were good to me and encouraged me down through the ages. And I've been the beneficiary of being around some of God's greatest people and answering the call to God. I do not regret. I shudder to think what my life would have turned out to be if I'd have said no. And I suppose it's possible, although at the time I didn't think I could, but others have. Others have went on somehow and managed to live a life in disobedience and not enjoying the full blessings of God by rejecting and maybe not activating the call and the gifts that God has placed upon us. See, the calling is actually a gift. We look at it like it's a burden. Oh, I did. This is, you've burdened me. You know, my life is over with, and this, I'm no longer able to do anything on my own. This is that. But it is a gift. Now, the call of God is not just to a call of higher service, but it's also to individuals. The gifts, listen to this, the gifts, purposes, and promises of God to Israel are permanent. Now, we may not understand that, but they are God's chosen people. Don't ever forget that. The gifts and the promises to individuals today are also endearing. They're irrevocable. The divine calling is not nullified by our mistakes. God has called men who are fallible. You know, we have faults and failures, and none of us is perfect, but it's not nullified. We don't have to be perfect. He's perfect, and we can only be complete in him. But these callings are not just to a higher calling of service, preaching the word, and higher callings in church, but it's also, there is a calling for people to be saved. Think about that. In Romans chapter 8, Paul says, he talks about that we're called of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, And we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are called according to his purpose. Oh, his purposes for you are good. Believe me. Call according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And to whom he called, them he justified, and whom he justified, them he glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? God is calling the lost people to be saved today. So whether the calling and answering the calling to us today requires us submitting to God's will and say, here am I, send me, Isaiah. You know, not too many who receive the call of God are that quick to say, here am I, send me. I struggle with it for a night and a day. Paul said, you know, Isaiah said, here am I, you know, who are we going to send? Here am I, send me. That's the proper way to answer, but it's not the normal way for human beings to respond to God's calling. But he has called us according to his purpose, as it pleased him, not as it pleases us. But whether he's calling us into a higher level of service in the church or ministry, or whether he is calling us to be saved, he is calling. You know, Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So he is calling people today to faith and repentance, calling us to be saved. He is calling us for special tasks at times. Whatever the calling that God is calling us with, it still requires activation. We can go our life. Some men have spent their life without activating the call through faith, and they have lived miserable lives. Why would we want to exist? I don't understand that, because it was different for me. I don't think I could have lived, but maybe I could have. But to not activate the callings and the gifts of God make no sense. You think about the gifts of God. We look at it as a burden when we think about the calls and we answer. We think about, well, I'm called to faith and repentance, and yet I don't want to go down before the people in the church, and I don't want to do these things. But think about the blessings. Think about the gift. What the gift? The gift of eternal life. The gift of eternal life. God doesn't want any to perish. But listen, activation through faith to be fully realized. Fully realized. I'm going to ask Brother Danny to come today. If God is calling you to some special task, if he is calling you to be saved, he is calling. He is calling. He has gifts for you, and they are without repentance. God will be calling you as long as you're alive. We say as long as there is life, there is hope. But life is uncertain. It is fragile. It requires activation through faith to be fully realized. Don't you want to fully realize the blessings that God has for you today. We're going to stand together, stand with me, and ask you to come today to activate God's gifts and callings for you. Do it through faith today. Shall we sing?